My son went last year to a Together for the Gospel, 5,000 pastors down in Louisville, Kentucky. And Michael Redman was there, and they did this song, 5,000 preachers singing, "Bless the Lord, O my soul." It was wonderful. He recorded it, and I played on occasion in my office just to hear that singing. As believers, we will all face and experience difficulties, different situations, hardships, circumstances in life. They're inevitable. Each of us will go through stages. How many remember when the babies were little? They're so cute. Then something happens around 2 or 3 years old. Then they get into elementary school. Then they get into junior high school. Then they get into high school. And then they get into college. Those things just change, one thing after another after another. But in your life, individually, and sometimes in the church life corporately, we have conditions. Some are singular transaction. Some are recurring. They happen more than once. And we all experience these things in our lives. May I take a Bible term and apply it here? Seasons. Seasons. The seasons of life. These conditions or stages are really the seasons of our lives. And thinking about these things, I want you to turn to Psalm 30. Psalm 30 is a wonderful psalm. It really breaks it down for us. I would like us, first of all, to see what these seasons are. There are three. There are more things happening to us than just three stages of life, but these are three major stages of life that we all will go through, no matter who you are. And David, who wrote this psalm, is realizing those very things. So first of all, we want to see what these seasons are. Secondly, probably it would be good for us to recognize two important certainties. These are certainties with regards to our seasons of life. And then thirdly, to realize the responsibility we have in regards to these seasons of life. We simply don't let them go. We simply don't forget about them. We simply don't wish them away. They are things we have to deal with. Psalm 30, verses 1 through 6. Listen very carefully to David. "I will extol the Lord, for thou hast lifted me up and hast not made my foes to rejoice over me." That's a good thing, all God's people said. "O Lord, my God, I cried unto thee, and thou hast healed me." That's a good thing. Amen? "O Lord, thou hast brought up my soul from the grave. Thou hast kept me alive, that I should not go down to the pit. That's a good thing. Amen. So far, so good. Amen. Verse 4, sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. It's getting better, isn't it? That's a good thing. Verse 5, for his anger endureth but a moment, in his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. That's a good thing. Verse 6, and in my, all these things added up to one thing. Listen to what he calls it. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall never be moved. All God's people said. Here's the first season of life. The season of blessing. David just described it for us. We've been there, we've all been there when things are going well. Amen. And God sends those days, sends those sometimes weeks and months. When one thing after another God does for us, God heals somebody maybe we were praying for. God delivers us through a circumstance that we had no idea would have happened. God supplies a need that you thought couldn't be met. God gives you health. You go a whole 2 or 3 months and you're not, haven't coughed once, all God's people said. Relationships are good. Things are going well. You remembering how sweet it is to be with God and watch Him work. Your devotions are daily things of rejoicing. You seem to be on top of it. Amen? Things are going well. The clouds are gone. Sunshine is present. And it seems like it's the rainbow's in the sky all day long. Amen? Isn't it lovely driving and see a rainbow in the sky? That's such a promise from God, still a promise from God. It's a beautiful thing. And how do we feel? How do we reason in times like that? What is our attitude in the season of blessing? I'll read it for you again. And in my prosperity, I said, I shall not be moved. When God is blessing us and things are going well and good and you're firing in all cylinders, amen? I'll never do that. I'll never go over there. No way. I'm staying with God. Amen? I'm going to be strong. I'm going to stand up. God has just prospered me and blessed me. I'm not going to turn away. I just won't do it. It's not going to happen. I will serve God forever. I will never go back again. I will give Him whatever He asks for as long as He asks it. Amen? I'll live for Him. Season of blessing. There isn't anything like it. It's just an unbelievable time when God is working in your heart and you can sense it, and it's very evident that there's something special going on. The seasons of life when God is blessing your life. I'd love to tell you that that's how it'll always be. But the fact of the matter is, that's not how it'll always be. I wish that every day would be a day of blessing for you. And in essence, in a real, very real way, it is. If all God does is saves us and leaves us up to the world and the difficulties in the world, he's still done more for us than we ever deserve. Amen? He's a good God. But when God deals with us, he seems sometimes to move from this season to a different season. And David speaks about it here. Number one, there's the season of blessing. Number two, there's the season of bereavement. Look at verses 7 and 8 of the same psalm. Lord, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand. Thou didst hide thy face, and I was troubled. I cried to thee. Excuse me. I cried to thee, O Lord. And to the Lord I made my supplication. Something happened. Lord, it was good. It was wonderful, Lord. Something happened. There's discouragement here in his voice. There's a disheartenedness. We have the seasons of blessing, but here's a second season. The season of bereavement. Write that down. Bereavement. By bereavement, I mean to imply that these times in our lives of hardship or loss, discouragement, despondency, those times when the blessing of God seem absent, and the days are cloudy and the sun does not seem to shine, things don't look good, when you get bad news. Notice in verse 7 how quickly the season changed and how different the attitude and the view changed with it. In verse 7, by thy favor thou hast made my mountain to stand strong. Things are great. God is so good and gracious to bless my life. And then he says, thou didst hide thy face and I was troubled. Where are you now? Where's God now? He's hid his face. Sometimes in our lives we get here. We feel this way. We're in the season of bereavement. The difficulties come. The hardships and the heartaches show up. We had friends who are missionaries to Russia in Siberia. Now let me tell you, God has to be calling your life for you to go to Siberia. Amen? In the wintertime, it was 54 below. 54 degrees below zero. Where he was, because of how far out they were and because of the size of the town, the lack of goods to be transported there. Russia just didn't do it. Every once in a while, a train car would show up and there'd be some new things there. This missionary lived, they literally lived on nothing. There were many, 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 many days and weeks where they did not even have one single slice of bread. His wife got sick. His daughter got sick. He had to fly them all the way back to the States. He stayed there. He would go out and stand and wait sometimes 3 and 4 hours for a bus to go into the city to try and find something to eat. He often got frostbite in his fingers and his hands and his feet. His wife got well as they came back and things were better, and they got a shipment one time of green beans. All God's people said. Amen. He said, we learned quickly that you can do a lot of things with green beans. Amen? Amen. They had people over for green beans. They ate for dinner green beans. They ate for breakfast green beans. They had green bean salad. They had everything you can make out of green beans. Then the green beans went away. They had nothing again. And this was the course of their life for 7 or 8 years while they were there in Siberia. And I thought to myself, how would I stand up? How would I deport myself? How would I feel when the door shut and I had to look at the ones I loved sitting there in the kitchen and knowing that there was nothing at all I could do to provide one solitary thing for them? Bereavement, heartache. The difficulties come, the hardships come, the heartaches show up. Notice where this led David. Look at verse number 8. He didn't say, I blame God. He didn't say, I charge God foolishly. He didn't say, this doesn't work anymore. This Christian life's phony. It's a bunch of nonsense. In the middle of this terrible session, this bereavement, this season of heartache, the Bible says, I cried to the Lord, and unto the Lord I made my supplication. Listen to me very carefully. There's no other place to go when you're in one of these times. You need to go right to God. You need to run to Him. You need to fall down before Him. You need to tell Him. You need to let Him know. You need to let Him work. He felt that the condition was so bad in the next verse, verse 9, that the anxiety was so hard, that the season was so difficult, that he wanted to die, or he thought he might. Listen to what he says. I mean, it's pretty plain stuff. What profit is there in my blood? When I go down to the pit, shall the dust praise thee? Shall it declare thy truth? When I turn to dust, is there anything left? When I die, is there anything left? It's gone. When you're in this kind of condition, folks, it's bad. Amen? There's no getting around it. No, you can put a smile on your face if you'd like, but the fact of the matter is, inside you're being eaten up. It's hard. That feeling, that view is widely different from the one in verse 6, I shall not be moved. Amen? Sometimes God allows these seasonal changes in our lives to test our mettle and to prove His sufficiency. But don't miss this. Don't simply glide by it. Take note of this there is the season of bereavement that comes to each and every believer, and it comes often in our lives, more than once. So there's the season of blessing. Amen? Season of bereavement. There's one other season. Look down at verses 10 and 11. Hear, O Lord, and have mercy upon me. Be thou my helper. Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off sackcloth and girded me with gladness. There's a season of brokenness. Now, brokenness comes to believers in two ways. You may want to write these down. Number one, brokenness sometimes comes to our lives because of us. Amen? We take the wrong turn. We do the wrong thing. We maybe get dissatisfied with what's happening and we try to fix it ourselves. We sin against God. And when we get in that condition, sometimes there's, I know in David's life, there was an arrogance in his life. He got arrogant about himself. He thought he was stronger than he was. He thought he was better than he was. He thought he was bigger than he was. Sometimes we get in a place where we presume on God. When we get there, folks, God sometimes has to break us. Amen? I don't know how he does it, but he does it. He has to do something to bring you back, to cause you to rethink where you're at, to cause you to refocus, to cause you to do the right thing. So sometimes this brokenness comes because of us, because of conviction from God. Then sometimes brokenness does not come because of sin, but because of the will of God. Sometimes God allows brokenness in our life because it is His will to do so. I've told you this before, but it still moves my heart. We were in Macau, China. I weighed about 50 pounds more. I'll tell you this part first. There are a bunch of little Chinese gals in the street. They'd come over and they'd giggled, and they were little tiny things. I mean, you know, they're just little bitty. Oh, they were high school kids or college kids, I couldn't tell. And they were just jabbering in Mandarin, 100 miles an hour. I didn't understand the thing they were saying. And they were, picture take, picture take, picture take, picture take. So they all got around me and took a picture with me, and then they wanted me to stand over here, and they took another picture with me. I'm thinking, I am an important person. Took another picture. There was a guy standing by me. I said, do you speak Chinese? He said, yeah. I said, what are they doing? He said, they want their picture taken with you because you remind them of Buddha. I thought that was funny. That's not the thing I recall most, but that was one. We're in Macau at a Presbyterian mission building. It was the first mission built in Macau to reach the Chinese. One of the missionaries that worked there was the missionary that translated the Bible into Mandarin. Took him his whole life He died a week before it could be published. But today, 500 million Chinese have the Bible in their own language. Unbelievable. China Inland Missions was the active mission agency at that time. There was a young couple, 19 and 20 year old. Man was 20, the wife was 19. Just kids. They gave their lives to God to serve Him in China. They got on a boat in England, and it took 6.5 months for the boat to get to China. There was a lot of sickness on the boat, a lot of disease in the boat. The wife got very sick while she was on the boat, very, very sick. They landed in China. Their hearts were full. They were getting to do what they knew God wanted them to do. It was absolutely the thing that filled their heart. All this that I'm telling you, you could read on their tombstone. The wife became terribly sick again, 19 years old. I say a baby, she's just a kid. Whole life in front of her. Husband glowing with the thought of serving God. Heart filled with praise for God. She grew very sick, and she died before they got to hand out a Bible, before they got to tell one person about Christ, before they got to share the gospel one time. She died. The agency came to him and said, "We're going to send you home." He said, "I'm not going back." He said, "God called us here. I will stay here." And he did. He stayed and died in China, all God's people said. But when they brought his wife to be buried, he wrote on the tombstone these words: "As for God, His way is perfect. As he wrapped his arms around that precious life one more time, as he put her in the ground finally, as he stood there at the graveside knowing he would never see her in this life again, brokenness gripped his heart. But he knew that God broke his heart for a reason. He would be more tender now. He would be more loving now. He'd be more forgiving now. He'd be more helpful, more courageous, more committed. That young man stayed in Macau and changed society dramatically. Today he's in heaven with his precious wife. Amen. There is the season of brokenness. Listen to verse 11. And this is a testimony to this young man as well as to David. He said, "Thou hast turned for me my mourning into dancing. Thou hast put off my sackcloth and girded me with gladness." All God's people said. Oh, you can be broken and God can break you. But God doesn't leave you broken. Amen. Secondly, I want you to observe the two important certainties about the seasons of life. And I call your attention to a verse in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. In fact, chapter 3 and verse 1 down through verse 10 really say basically the very things I've just said to you all over. But 3 and verse 1 says, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven. To everything there is a season. Words are important in the Word of God, amen? In our text, the word season here in this verse means an appointed time. Now think of it in that way. To everything there is an appointed time. Or divine appointment, all God's people said. I believe that after we get to heaven, we're going to look back and we're going to have to look at our lives and say, why did that? Oh, divine appointment. Why was I crushed that? Oh, divine appointment. Oh, I was so broken. Divine appointment. We'll see over and over and over and over and over and over again how God structured our lives so that He could be intimately involved in what we do. And it's called divine appointment. God appoints a time for you in His will, whether it's blessing or bereavement or brokenness, and He carries it through. And He walks with you, and He works with you, and He holds you, and He listens to you. Regardless, can't we gripe a lot? Amen. But you know what? God listens. He throws His arm around you and says, go ahead. It's all right. He listens. There are seasons for everything. There is a season. Daniel 2:21 says, and He changeth the times and the seasons. Every single season in your life is appointed by God. It is God who allows, places, or works out each and every circumstance of life. Now that's easy to accept in the time of blessing, amen? In fact, God keep doing that, amen? But in bereavement and brokenness, it's a little more difficult. But I said there's a second thing that we must know. It's important to us. Note again our verse, to everything there is a season, an appointed time. And then it says, and a time, and this word means set in duration. It has a beginning and it has a, all God's people said. Now I hate to blow your bubble here, but often God doesn't tell you when it starts and when it's finished. But there is a start and there is a finish. And each step you take in these seasons of life draws you closer to God, causes you to see Him in a bigger way. You can't live on the mountaintop all the time. Amen? You sometimes have to go to the valley. We need the valley. You know why? When you're in the valley, which way can you look? The only way to look is up. Amen? Looking to Him. The writer of Hebrews said, the author and finisher of our faith. And one last thing. Back to Psalm 30. What's our responsibility? After David said all he said, he gets down to verse 12 and he says, at good times, difficult times, bereavement, brokenness, blessing, I have all of those. He shared them with us. And he said, all of this in my life happened to the end for the reason that my glory may sing praise to thee and not be silent, all God's people said. O Lord my God, I will give thanks unto thee forever. When I was in Florida as a youth pastor, they asked me to go visit a lady named Cowand. Cowand, C-O-W-A-N-D, Cowand. She was 90 years old in the hospital, dying of cancer. She had three kinds of cancer. She was in pain 24/7. Why the Lord didn't take her, we don't know, but she just was still there. So I knew I was going the next day, so I got some songs out, and I decided I was going to sing to her. I was going to encourage her. I was going to read scripture to her. I mean, after all, she needed something, amen? She was hurt, down, trodden. She wasn't feeling good. She was just in the cups of heartache. So I knocked on the door and I walked in. She said, who are you? I said, I'm the youth pastor at your church. She said, oh, I've not met you. I said, no, we haven't met. She said, why did you come? I said, oh, I thought I'd be an encouragement to you. She said, really? She said, sit down. And I sat down. She said, can I tell you a story? She told me a story. Can I tell you another? She told me another. She said, do you have your Bible with you? I said, yes. She preached 15 minutes to me about how to live and do what's right and serve God, love your family. And I never got to sing one solitary song, not one. Never got to say one thing to her. Never got to read one scripture to her. I was there for 2 hours. And when I left, I was higher than a kite. I was bouncing off the walls. And I said to myself, who can be like that? I will sing praise to God and not be silent, David said. She learned something that I'm still working on learning. That irregardless of the season of life, God is still God. God is still on his throne. And God is still working in our lives. And she exemplified that in a way that I will never, never forget. When they did her funeral, they asked people to stand to say something. I stood and I said something. It's supposed to be for 2 minutes. I made up for all the time I missed when I was with her. I said, I have never known. I said, I met this lady one time. Once. I said, I have never in my life known, never, anyone that loved Jesus more than this woman. The seasons of life. Lord, help us to realize that there are seasons in our lives that we do have to go through. God, help us to know that you haven't left us off. You're there every moment of every day. May we trust you in Jesus' name. Amen.